Hello and good afternoon. It's the HTXT.Africast. Welcome back for another edition. My name is Brendan Lutz, and joining me in studio today is Lungelo Shezi.
Just me and you today.
Yeah, just you and I. Everybody else has gone to a meeting,
they say. But it's cool. We'll steer the ship pretty well ourselves. I think we're capable.
So I think today we're going to start with going to something that has been a point of contention amongst many people. The WhatsApp status.
So it's been a month or 3 weeks or so since the new WhatsApp came. Well, 2 weeks. But just,
about been, 2 or 3 weeks. Around about there.
So it's quite fresh, but I think we've all more or less gotten used to it because I don't think I even updated my WhatsApp, or maybe it updated automatically and I didn't see, but it just was like, boom, here we go.
Yeah.
And so the whole WhatsApp status message thing, it's Facebook's, part of Facebook's bid to take on Snapchat. So first it was Instagram stories with the whole disappearing picture or video thing.
Yeah.
And then that was cool. I heard Instagram. And then, but no one, I would not have expected that to land on WhatsApp, because WhatsApp is just so personal. Hey?
Well, for me, I look at WhatsApp and it's a way for me to get in touch with people. I don't really want to
it's not a social
network. Exactly. It's like a instant messaging platform.
Like,
that's how I've always seen it.
Exactly. Like, hey, where are you? I'm on my way. Cool. See you in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do that with Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, because that's where you really get to, you know, interact with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And intentionally or unintentionally, that's where you really sort of hold back on a lot of things. But WhatsApp is where you're just you. You know what I mean? You're talking. I'm talking with you one-on-one. If I'm frustrated about something, you know, that's where you take all of your personal stuff, stuff that you just don't want out there in the rest of the world. And so this is kind of like a bit of a misfit in terms of WhatsApp and what it's for. And it's kind of annoying because, I mean, if someone goes to a party and it's a flipping rad party, dude, and they're there for 6 hours and they're like 20 artists, and every time a new artist comes on stage, they're putting it up on WhatsApp. I mean, WhatsApp, in a way, I don't know about you, but I access WhatsApp way more than any other. I can go a week or so without being on Instagram.
Yeah.
Facebook and Twitter, I log out at some point in the evening. But WhatsApp is the last sort of thing I do on my phone before I turn in for the night.
Yeah.
So every time you go on WhatsApp, because there's this little red dot under the status tab, which shows you that there's a new story that's been posted. And whether you want to see it or not, because you want that dot to disappear, you have to slide and like, okay, go away, dot. But I don't really pay attention to a lot of people's stories. I think I've only done it once. Hello?
Okay, we had a slight technical difficulty there, but we're
sorry.
Back.
I got a bit excited. So I think I did it once myself to see how it works, but I haven't done it since. And a whole lot of people are pretty angry about it because, first of all, where the contacts, you know, list was is where statuses are now.
Yeah.
And even I got confused. I'm like, okay, so where are my contacts? Because I will need to message someone.
And then it's the little, like, message icon at
the
top.
Top right.
Which is terrible. I thought it was like, oh, it's new message or private.
Exactly.
I was really confused by the entire switch in the layout.
Yep.
And it wasn't like, like you said, it wasn't like they gave us time to prepare for this. It was literally, we woke up one day, boom, WhatsApp has updated, and now there's status messages. What?
Exactly. And so, you know, the less social media savvy crowd, I won't make it an age issue, because some people my age even are kind of like, what's going on? They were really not happy because, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of people just use WhatsApp for just what we said. They don't care about profile photos and all this stuff. And now when you're messing around with how they access it, people went berserk. They're like, oh, how do I remove this? I saw someone saying, updates, down dates. So how do I down date and stuff like that? So a whole lot of people were angry. And I guess WhatsApp or Facebook, whoever, you know, is the go-to company for it, heard, and they did a bit of a one, let me say 130, not 180.
Yeah.
They did a 130 degree change. And according to the WhatsApp beta community, so those are the guys who get to try out all the new features before we all get to see it, the old status format is coming back. So the way you used to see your contacts from A to Z and their status, whatever status they put up, either available or away, or hey, it's my birthday, I'm so happy, whatever, that's coming back. But it's not coming back to replace the new thing. They're going to coexist side by side.
Okay, so one of the things that you just mentioned now that actually made a lot of sense to me was with the old status update was, and I knew a lot of people that did this, they had their status update if they were in a meeting or don't call, only text me, or don't text, I'm busy, or like do not disturb, like stuff like that. There was usually useful information in there. Now and again you get the guy that's like angry at his ex-girlfriend that's like, I hate my life, I wish she would come back to me. Like, but for the most part there was usually useful information contained in those status updates.
True.
And then you now have this new thing. And I mean, like, I tried it on Friday.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to see that I could see everybody that viewed my story or status.
That's interesting.
Well, that was something that I didn't realize. Because, like, I would go onto people's status and be like, oh, let's just see what's happening.
Now but you're a bit more careful.
Now I'm a bit more careful. I'm like, now I know that they can see that I'm looking at it. And I don't really want them to know.
Yes.
And you can see exactly when they looked at it. And
exactly.
Like, it's just a little bit like disconcerting, you know? You don't really want to know who's looking at your stuff. It's kind of just like, oh, I put it out there.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know who's looking at my stuff on Facebook. When somebody likes it, that's the only indication I get.
That they saw it.
Yes, or that they... I assume that all my friends see the stuff that goes onto my timeline. But I don't really necessarily want to know that they clicked on it.
And viewed it.
Yeah, I'm not a marketing professional here.
It maybe.
Yeah. I thought, oh, here's something cool that I can share with my friends.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case. And like I was telling you just before this podcast, there were a couple of circumstances or a couple of instances where there were people that I hadn't interacted with in years.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden,
here they are looking at my story, and I'm like, oh.
And you probably even deleted their number like 2 years ago.
No. I still have the number.
You still have them.
Because everything's backed up online. So I can't actually ever delete a number unless I go through a whole rigmarole. But like people that I hadn't spoken to in ages,
and
all of a sudden
yo,
are like,
yo, let me check what Brendan's up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know if this is something that I like.
I don't have my stuff backed up on WhatsApp on purpose because I don't care about backing up my conversations and everything.
Yeah.
Unless... Yeah, no. Every number that I have saved is a number that I need. And if I don't have your number saved on my WhatsApp, but there's a conversation, that means I just needed it for that conversation, and now it's over. Now I'm going to delete the conversation and never talk to you again. Not because I don't like you, but because my business with you is done.
Yeah.
So, and I think if you've maybe had a fight or argument where you're no longer friends with John, and you deleted John's number, but John still has your number, and then John checks out your story, you're kind of like, oh, so you're still around. You know, it's kind of creates that sort of, oh, so you're stalking me. Oh, you're still interested in what I do.
And it creates this miscommunication because all I did was slide and get rid of the red dot that's at the top of my WhatsApp because it's really annoying.
Exactly. So it's kind of like this unspoken, uncommunicated thing between you. You're like, I'm watching you. You're watching me. It's fine, whatever. And I also don't want people to see that I check their stories because I don't want people to think I'm stalking them.
Exactly.
You know? It's just such...
Because the assumption is that you are stalking somebody. It's
exactly.
not like,
and
oh,
it's not even the case.
You're just curious. No. It's you're stalking me.
Exactly.
In this day and age.
I mean, of course, you know, family and friends, you know, it's cool. But, you know, that one guy that you met in an event and he insisted on taking your phone number, and it's like, it creates so much
random
awkward.
Dude.
It's a little... change, but it's changed a lot in terms of how people are now relating to each other on WhatsApp. So unfortunately, there's no way out. We're stuck with it forever, maybe, if they decide to. I mean, it's rare for a company to take away an entire feature.
Yeah.
You know, they can tweak it and work a way around it. Like, okay, maybe you can turn it off or on.
Just, but, like you said, it feels like such a strange place to put it.
Yeah, very.
Like, Instagram, I can understand to a degree. It's all about photos. It's all about videos.
Yeah.
Like, some people get really creative with their Instagram stories, and it fits.
It's cool to
Snapchat,
see,
yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Hell, even on Twitter, it would make sense. But WhatsApp, I look at it and go,
it's my personal space.
Yeah,
personal
it's where space. I'm talking to people. It's something that I don't ever log out of.
Mm.
It's something that is all like because I review phones, I constantly have to update apps. WhatsApp is the app that goes on first all the time
so that people can be able to communicate.
Exactly.
With you, because your own phone is off because your SIM card's
exactly.
not in there. Yeah.
So like WhatsApp is the first thing that I download all the time.
Me
because
too.
It's my form of communication. Yeah. I don't call people because who wants to talk to people?
Yeah.
SMSs are too expensive. So WhatsApp is a primary method of communication. It's not, like I said earlier, a social network.
Yeah.
It's not something. It's not a place I go to where it's like hey guys, I just went to go see the new Logan.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey bro, went to go see Logan. Zite.
Yeah.
You know, like something like that.
Yeah.
But not where I want to go, oh, going to watch Logan, let me add 50 photos to my things.
Oh,
and even when I was posting my story on Friday, I realized how limited the tools are, you know?
In terms of
like, you can add
around.
A caption and, like, I didn't really explore it much, but it seemed really, really limited compared to something like Instagram stories or Snapchat, Snap, whatever they're called.
So, I mean, it's a bit of, what's the term? Consolation, but not really.
Yeah,
it's a bit of, it's consolation, but not really, because we're still stuck with it. But yeah, it's coming back. We don't know when, because it's still in beta version. But when it comes out, of course, we will, you know, let everyone know, and then you'll be able to update your app. But for now, you're stuck.
Yeah, sorry, you got to go and watch. Get thought that you're stalking because you just want to get rid of the red dot on top of WhatsApp. Speaking of technology. I suppose the broader segue into what I'm going to be talking about today. So last week I was at DevConf in Midrand, which made me realize that I am not A, as smart as I thought I was, and B, know very little about code and developing.
Oh, is it?
Okay. And like, I thought that I knew quite a bit. You know, I know JavaScript, I know HTML, I know how to make a website, I know how to use them, but being surrounded by all these developers made me realize just how little I knew. But it shows that when you think you're smart, you probably
aren't.
You're not really. There's somebody out there that is smarter than you. And one of the people that was talking at DevConf, she actually gave the keynote, is Terry Burns, who is the product manager at Twitter.
As in Twitter USA.
Twitter USA.
Not Twitter, with their little office.
Yeah, little satellite office.
Yeah, no.
It's not that. This lady is actually from Twitter.
Yeah.
And she was giving the keynote, and her keynote was addressed bad people, bad computers. And started off telling us about her life and how she went to college and university and all these things. And then she started talking about Tay. Now, I don't know if you remember Tay last year. It was a chatbot that Microsoft released out onto the internet. And Tay was able to respond to tweets and to respond to IMs. And it would learn through its conversations how to interact with people and then hold a conversation.
Yeah.
So Microsoft set Tay out into the wild, and in a few hours, Tay had turned into a racist, bigoted artificial intelligence. So the reason this happened is because Microsoft didn't program Tay to not take that information in. So they didn't teach Tay not
block
to learn
certain words.
Racism or bigotry or things like that, or like, I don't, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And within a few hours, it had turned into a racist artificial intelligence. And one of the reasons that Burns pointed out for why this might be the case is because of existing bias within the developers. So,
are you serious?
Yeah. So basically what it boils down to is that the developers didn't think that putting this onto the internet and making it available to everybody, that people would try and turn it into a racist.
But
or into a neo-Nazi
what
or whatever it be.
On the planet does with everything that's technological.
That goes onto the internet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, here's something and we'll ruin
it. It's intended for good. Share pictures of your babies and then people start going way off. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it was something that really, really struck me.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she said is, we are humans building software for humans. It's an incredible responsibility. And it was one of the points that her whole talk hinged on was – was this bias, is that people don't expect people to do certain things when they've been developing software. So one of the examples that she used was pick a number between 1 and 10, and you could, if you guess the correct number between 1 and 10, you could win $2 million, or I think it was R1 million or something like that. I can't remember the exact figure. And what happened was she said, okay, now you take this to your mother, who's... She just used her mother, but you could take this to anybody. And you say, pick a number between 1 and 10. And her mother inputted something that wasn't a number between 1 and 10. So then they had to go back and fix it. And then they were like, okay, cool, try it now. Pick a number between 1 and 10. So then she went and wrote the number, like as the word 2 rather than the number 2. And they had to go back and fix it again. Then... something else happened and something else happened and they had to go back and fix it, go back and go and fix it. And it was something that it seems like such a simple problem and with such a simple solution. But the problem is that people don't think about these things.
Yeah.
And if you look at what the tech space looks like in general, where it's white males with their flannel shirts, it's really hard for them to kind of see things from the perspective. Get in the headspace of a single black female or a married white female. You know, it's very hard for them to break out of their comfort zone. And it's not like, oh, no, you should account for everybody. It's impossible to think about 7 billion people and how they are going to use something.
Perceive, yeah.
But it kind of highlights how important diversity is. And that's the word that she hesitated to say, but it is like, it's something that is needed, especially when you're developing software for all these people. After the talk, I actually went and spoke to her, but spoke about how can Facebook be expected to develop software that can be used here in Africa? Like Facebook, for example,
and they're all
right?
in America.
And they're all like, in America. And one of the things that she said is that in the future, she hopes to see a situation where people are kind of breaking out. So you don't have a Twitter office that's based in San Diego.
Yeah.
It's not just one office. Yeah. That's it.
True.
You have satellite offices that are working all around the world with people from those communities.
From the communities who understand.
That are in those countries that understand the stuff. Because understand those cultures, exactly. Not just knowing how to code, because coding is a teachable skill, but understanding how a community works. That's something that you can't teach anybody.
Yeah.
I can't learn how things work in Soweto. Mm. Like, as much as I can spend time there
and you need to either experience it or just get someone else completely who's
from there. And that was one of the things that like really struck with me, because I think it's something that a lot of developers don't think about when they're developing software. You're like, oh, cool, we're going to create this app for people in townships and you're going to create
them for app store
on the iTunes, you're gonna have it on iTunes. Nobody has an iPhone in the township. I'm not saying, I'm just making a broad generalization. I know a lot of people in Soweto that have iPhones,
but they're like in the minority.
Exactly, it's not as widespread as something as a feature phone or Android phone,
BlackBerry, even
BlackBerry. So apps should be developed with that in mind. But it's something that it's such a simple thing that could help developers create more successful apps. And I mean, like, one of the things that she said that really resonated with me was for the first time in history, we're learning what it means to design and engineer products for everyone in the world. And that is becoming a reality. It is becoming a real possibility that we will soon have all 7 billion people on the world connected. Sure, there's a long road still ahead of us, but we need to start thinking about what happens when that becomes a reality.
What you're saying, it takes me back to a whole lot of, you know, every year one or two organization does a study on how many people are now connected to the internet and or have a mobile phone or whatever. So and then they always give an estimate. And so when it comes to developing countries, so India and the BRICS, an entire maybe African continent, and then South America, whatever, the barrier, they always list local content as one of the biggest barriers to people accessing content online. So sometimes it's not even a matter of not having a phone or a computer to use, but it's that the content on the internet itself, the entire internet itself, is still very English, let me say. Because even if I log on now, and I used Google Translate, and I wanted a web page to speak to me in Zulu, it's going to be terrible because it's a direct translation just based on dictionary and whatever. And so,
you lose the tense, you lose the tone, you lose completely on the message.
And so, and I mean, if you, even in Europe and in parts of Africa, here in Africa, so especially your Anglophone, Francophone countries, sorry, where they were once colonized by the French. English can be even the third official language, or even not an official language at all. And so everyone conversates in the local language there. Yeah. And even in Europe, you know, you find people speaking Spanish and Dutch and Portuguese and whatever, and they're not very, either they're not fluent at all in English or they're not very fluent in English. Yeah. But for people in Europe, they have it a bit easy because a whole lot of stuff is developed in Europe and they take those kinds of languages into consideration. So, but BRICS countries are still very much largely ignored.
Yeah.
And so it kind of leaves a lot of people out because my grandmother, who is Zulu, is, she's no longer alive, but I'm just making an example.
Yeah.
She's educated, you know, has a teaching qualification or whatever, so it's not like she's illiterate.
Yeah.
But for her to pick up a smartphone and start using, you know, something
like Facebook or even Twitter.
Exactly. And it speaks to in English, she's going to struggle and hesitate and stumble a bit on the way. Whereas if this thing spoke to her in proper Zulu, not dictionary Zulu, but proper Zulu, which takes into consideration tense and tone and everything, then she'd zoom past it and she'd be able to consume that content faster. So that's sort of almost a good example of what you're saying, that a lot of these services don't speak to people directly in terms of context and culture and, you know, norms and standards and societal frameworks that don't even apply in America, but don't apply here in Africa, but are totally cool in America. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, it's like you say, it's, and I totally agree with you. It's something that really needs to be addressed, like localization of content,
completely.
And not even just the content. I mean, I think we need to like look at how do we make these apps and these programs accessible to more people.
Mm.
I mean, like, you go onto Facebook and you look at all the languages it's available in. Cool. Like, but I still need to be able to go, I don't know what login is.
Mm.
Like, I don't speak English. I don't know what login is.
Mm.
I don't know.
I've never used the internet. By the way.
Oh, do you?
I do. I just decided, I don't know. I just decided to like, okay, let me just switch my English, I mean, my Facebook to Zulu. And so when you log on, it's, I'd say it's 95% accurate in terms of, you know, everything. But it's not everything that's in Zulu. So, menu is not in Zulu at all.
Oh, really?
And yes, no, it's not. Menu is not in Zulu.
You see, now that worries me a bit because that's where all the privacy settings are and all the security settings and all that sort of stuff is.
Yeah.
And if people aren't understanding what that is, that may lead to bigger problems down the line.
So, small, like a few words here and there are not in Zulu. So, menu is not in Zulu. Yeah, here and there. So you'd be using like maybe a certain feature on Facebook, and on literally on one side of the screen it's in Zulu, and then the other side of the screen it's in English, because whatever translation or whatever thingy platform that Facebook is using doesn't know what word, or either the word doesn't exist, because let's be frank, it's not every word in English.
Like API, I don't think there's an API in Zulu.
No, it's just going to be EAPI, which is like...
Yeah.
Whatever. So you can't translate every single word that exists within the entire English vocabulary into Zulu. If it doesn't, if it's not there, it's just going to stay there as English.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So even with, but it works really well. I must say, I don't know about, I don't know if Twitter offers Zulu, but in Facebook, Zulu is really, I mean, I even learned a few new words. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty
That's always good. So yeah, basically the crux of her talk came down to accounting for bias. And accounting for privilege. Basically, she said, check your privilege to a group full of predominantly white male people. I don't know how they took that, but I was kind of stood up and was like,
in their seats.
Wanted to applaud. But yeah, that it's such a simple thing that I think a lot of people don't take into account. And I hope that our listeners realize that it's not like a jab. It's not like saying, oh, you're privileged, you better check it. It's not about that. It's
you suck.
Take into account the stuff that is going on around you.
Yeah.
Take a moment
to think.
Exactly. Think beyond your own scope of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time you're going to run into problems that you could have solved really early on had you accounted for the fact that Tepo in Soweto doesn't know what login means.
Yeah, and you know, he doesn't have any qualification past matric, so et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And it builds on stuff because, I mean, like, if you think about it, right, if I get bad service from something, the chances of me going back to it are very, very slim.
Very slim.
If, for example, Telkom doesn't install my line properly and I have to, and I'm already annoyed with them, and now they take even longer to fix the problem. For me to want to go back to them again after I've left them, it's going to take
a miracle,
absolutely. So for somebody that has a first experience with Facebook where it's terrible, and for them to then try and go get that person back is an uphill battle that you need to fight. So rather just try, take your time, because I feel that's a lot of companies feel they need to push software out like
quickly because their competitors are going to beat them out.
Exactly. And I don't think that that's the way that it should be done. Rather take your time and account for everything and build a great piece of software that everybody can use, because we are getting to a stage where eventually we're going to have 7 billion people online and
talking to each other,
and all of them are going to be using your software in some way or another. So best you program it as good as you can. And I think that brings us to the end of this podcast.
It's been very interesting.
It was very interesting. We didn't even talk about games once, which is awesome. That's really great.
Sorry Nick
and Clinton, but thanks so much, guys, for tuning in for this edition of the HTXT AfriCast. My name has been Brendan Zachary.
My name is still Lungelo Shades, so I don't know about you.
And we will see you guys again next week. Bye-bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.